Court, presented by Point Guard U. Today, we're joined by Coach Ashley Zahn, the Victor Girls Varsity Basketball Coach. Ashley, we're super pumped to have you on. Thanks for joining us. I'm glad you're here. I'll give you a quick introduction, and then I'll pass it over to you. But I got to do some bragging on you first. This is probably one of the most impressive resumes I've seen. So Ashley was the all-time leading scorer. For all my Section 5 people, you know this name. But we have a nationwide audience, so I got to do this. All-time leading scorer at Canandaigua with 2,409 points. She's the fourth all-time leading scorer in Section 5. She's the Section 5 champ and MVP in 2009. She played basketball at St. Bonaventure, and her team made it to the Sweet 16 in 2012. She coached 3 years of JV at Victor in the past 2 years at Varsity. Inducted into the Section 5 Hall of Fame in just this past November for her career at Canandaigua. Ashley, like I said, super pumped to have you on.
Thank you so much. I'm excited.
Yeah. So kind of like I mentioned, you know, we have a lot of people in Section 5. We have camps, you know, all the way in New York, but we also go Michigan, Indiana, Kansas, Colorado. So we got a whole nationwide audience. Even though I gave your resume, tell us a little bit about yourself. What was your journey like from being that 24,900 point scorer at Canandaigua all the way to playing at St. Bonaventure?
Yeah. So I obviously grew up in Canandaigua, and I had two sisters. So there's just three girls in the family. And my dad, who I'm sure we'll talk more about, was a big basketball guy. And I think having three girls, he was like, oh, man, like, where's the sports gonna? And he was lucky because we all love basketball. So I grew up, my oldest sister, Nikki, she's probably like, I always struggle with age. I'm like, how old is she now? She's probably like 35 now. But me and my middle sister, Leah, we played with them when we were little. So I was like third grade playing with sixth graders because I would just tag along. And I think that is kind of like where my love started and getting it from my dad. But by the time I was in seventh grade, I played JV with my one sister. My other sister was on varsity. And by eighth grade, all three of us started together on Canandaigua, which was pretty cool. And then that journey, like you mentioned, like that was awesome. I mean, it was everything that I hoped it would be. And I think it's like, for me, it was like doing a job. Like it wasn't about the stats. That was just my job. And they just came out the way that they did. But my goal was just to be competitive and help my team however I could. And if that meant I had to score, then I had to score. But just the crowds that we had and the games we had and the people I played against in Section 5, like it was the best it ever was when I was in high school. Like the clientele that we had in Section 5, I've never seen anything like it, minus like Daisha Fair, who, well, like a couple of years ago, well, no, she's just graduated Syracuse, but like she was like the next person I was like, okay, she's comparable to like a Shanice Johnson out of Rush Henrietta. So that was just like high level high school basketball. And then going to Bonaventure, you know, I had a really great teacher and my father who was like, you're going against people that are all the best, you know, cause I think sometimes you go to college, you leave, you're the best, you know, you're the best where you are. So you go in with this kind of like attitude of like, well, so I was really fortunate to have a father who kind of taught me what I was walking into, and you have to separate yourself because everybody's going to be good. So you have to do something different. So that's kind of what made my college experiences. I had to figure out how to be different, and I loved it because I love a challenge. And I also dealt with injuries. I've had three shoulder surgeries throughout my career. So even just battling back with that was like a whole journey in itself. But the experience for me, because everyone's journeys are different, but the experience for me was just, it was amazing. And I think now, like, you know, getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, it was like, it's such an honor. But for me, it was like, I just love doing it. So when you get that award, like years later, you're like, wow, you know, because for me, it was like, I just love to do it. I love to be there. Whatever I did is what I did for my team. So seeing that years later, you just really appreciate like, wow, like this is something. My dad would always say, you have so much to be proud of. Because I'm like, well, it was just, you know, so I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for, you know, my family and parents for like giving me that opportunity. But it's been a It was an awesome journey.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you talk a lot about your dad, Scott. You know, it kind of leads me to my next question. What motivated you to go from player to coach? You know, and especially now stepping into your late father's coaching role. Can you kind of speak to what motivated that and how that experience has been?
Yeah. So my dad grew up, he's in the Hall of Fame at Victor, basketball, football, baseball. But he loved basketball. He was like, it was my dad was a phenomenal baseball and football player. In basketball, he was like a sixth man, did all the dirty work, but he loved the game because he loved just like the IQ of it. And so then he stuck with that after coaching, all three sports. So I grew up kind of seeing that. And having him as a coach all throughout until I got to college. And he would always say, like, to me, you have a different type of gift because you see the game through a lens that not many people do. They know the game, but the way you see it is like so seamless. And for me, it's like I have a hard time taking compliments. So I'm like, whatever, But then my Coach Crowley kind of said the same thing. Like, you get the game in different ways. Like, you understand it. And so I took time after season was over because it's just like the weirdest feeling. Like, you feel like you go through your life playing something and that was like your purpose. So then you're like, what is my purpose? Like, how do I navigate without playing? So I took some time off from just basketball, and that obviously didn't last long. So I was like, I want to coach with my dad. So that's when I switched my job to high school. And then the year my dad passed was the year we were supposed to coach together. So yeah, so that kind of was like, but it was like a motivator in itself of like, I want to kind of carry on his legacy. Like, I loved watching him coach, especially after coaching us, just seeing like how much he impacted not just the game, but like the kids that he coached. And that was the catalyst for me of like, I want to be just like that.
How did he influence that? Are there certain things that, you know, you kind of carry on of his? Do you have like certain mannerisms while you're coaching? Do you have certain tendencies? What carries on in your coaching style from him?
So I do, it's funny, like when I was talking about being in like third grade and he would do like the same press breakers and say, I run the same press breakers I ran when my dad coached us in third grade. And they work. And his style of play, same run, man, teaching those principles and teaching those like extra things, like the IQ piece that I feel is like missing a lot now. Teaching that, and it's just like, yes, the girls will say, I remember when he passing, they're like, the way you coach, we look at you, it's you look just like your dad. And my Aunt Cindy was at a game, and it was our game this year. We had to beat Hilton to clinch that league champion. And she said, when you turn, because like we knew we won, so I turned to Blake Smith, my assistant, and we gave each other a high five and they got in a picture. But I was like smiling, and she was like, when you turned and you smiled, she was like, you looked just like your dad. Like, it was, and those are the moments that like they feel so good, but at the same time, you just are like, but it makes me happy. So
Yeah, I know your dad would be really proud of you as a father myself. You know, you want your kids to go on and do great things, and you know, if I wasn't able to be there to see all the great things my son would go on to do, I'd want him to just know I'm so proud of him. And I know that's how your dad would feel about you, and you're doing an awesome job living it up to his legacy. And
thank you.
yeah, it's incredible to witness it from the outside looking in. Now, keeping in mind our audience, like I said, we're all over the country. We have kids that go to our camps from grades, you know, going into grades 3 through 12. A lot of kids, you know, keep in mind there's only 5 starting spots for every town. We probably have some kid that maybe feel like they're on the outside looking in of their program and are maybe wanting to get a little more attention from their coach, whether it's more playing time or, hey, coach, can you better define my role or whatever it is. More times than not, we both know kids that are feel like they're outside looking in want more playing time. What advice would you have for a young girl listening who's hears your accolades and says, I want to be like her, but I'm sitting so far down the bench. What do you have to say to that girl?
I think it's kind of what I said in the beginning of when I went to college, like you have to separate yourself. And I think knowing like your coach's style of play is huge. Like for me, girls know like if you can defend and defend like crazy and then just be able to take care of the ball offensively and understand our concepts, like I can find something for you. So I would say, if you are at the end of your bench, like obviously for me, it's you got to be able to take care of the ball. You got to be able to understand the game. And it's that hustle and it's that character and it's making people better around you, knowing like, okay, I'm not like the first option, I'm not the second, or I'm not third, but I'm going to get boards like crazy. I'm going to take charges. I'm going to make the pass to the right person. Like, those are jobs people don't want to do now that like coaches are looking for somebody to do. Who's going to set that screen? Who's going to understand the plays? Who can make an inbound pass and understand? Like, those are the things that I would notice if I was a coach. And those are the things I think like girls should really hone into, because everyone wants to be Caitlin Clark, right? Everyone wants to score. Everyone wants to be, and there's only one. So like it's finding your role within a team and not making it so much about, me specifically, but how can I help us? And I think that goes such a long way. And I think if you are leaning into that and you accept it, that's going to help you so much.
I think it's a great answer. And I think kind of like an undertone of what you're saying of like being able to handle the ball, know the system, do the dirty work, like an underlying tone theme to that is trust. Like the coach can trust you in the game. And for any young players listening, that starts in practice. Like the coach isn't going to all of a sudden be like, hey, now's the game where I'm going to decide whether or not I can trust that kid sitting on the bench. It's the 4 days of practice during the week when you are getting rebounds, taking charges, getting, hustling, doing all the things that you said, right? That comes game time, they look down that bench and it's a trust decision. It's not a, man, he's such a good kid, or she's a great girl. I'm gonna give her a chance now. It's gotta be trust that came from practice. So I think that was an incredible answer to that question. And any kids listening, definitely take notes, go back, rewind, take notes, and go do as she said. Now, obviously, you're a young coach, but you've been coaching a little bit. Do you have any memorable, particularly memorable or special moments as a coach for Victor?
I think the evolution of my 2 years has been memorable. So going in last, so not last year because the season's over, but my first year, we ended up 12 and 10. We started out 0 and 4. And it's like, as a coach, how do you keep coaching when you're losing? How do you keep kids motivated? And that starts with, like you said, trust, practice. So I got to watch like these girls go from going 0 and 4 to then getting to 500, losing by 20 to then losing by 2 with 13 seconds left. But it was like, you guys trust this process because next year it's going to pay off, I swear to you. And they did. Like, and I watched it happen this year. Like, we beat Schrader, who was state champions 3 times, two in the regular season, one in sectionals to get to the finals. We beat Hilton in for a league championship after we played our worst game of the season and they played us off the court. But I got to just watch, and that's the best part as a coach, this evolution of you go 12 and 10 to 21 and 2 and make it to the sectional finals, which you haven't done since 1990 and won a league championship that you haven't done since 41 years ago. And I got a player of the year on my team. I got, it'll be coming out, but I got 2 first team AGRs on my team. Like, for me, like, it's not so much getting like those awards to say you're good, but it's earning them. And it felt good to see everybody saw those girls and were like, they can't play basketball, they play other sports. And I'm like, no, but they can. And we're going to show you, they're going to show you they can. And that's all they did this year. And that's my memorable moment. Like, this team will forever be like my first and most fond memory of coaching, just to watch a 2 year span of greatness.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, as a JV coach turned varsity coach, I'm curious, how has that shaped your decisions as a varsity coach? Like, how do you manage your program? Like, you know what it feels like to maybe have players not stolen from you, but stolen from you midseason, pulled up to varsity, or you know, maybe you had a different view than the varsity coach, or I'm sure, you know, that happens a lot in programs where one coach wants to run a four out, one in, the other coach wants to run five out. And how do you manage keeping continuity within your program, and what does that look like?
I think like the big thing is like, which we've started to do a ton this year was I had to figure out like how I wanted to run things. Like, what do I want to run? What's going to fit? Where, you know, it's different, and I'm lucky that I had the experience, but I think coaching high school can be even more sometimes challenging than coaching college because you just get who shows up. You can't recruit to a system. So you have to always be changing how you do things. Like, for example, this year, like we pressed like crazy. I don't necessarily, I can do that next year, but it's gonna look differently. And I have to be able to adjust to that. But then it goes back to like, okay, so I need to like instill that in my youth. I need to start like getting actions that I'm gonna start using and implementing them when it's like age appropriate as they progress up. And so I think like starting with your youth is huge. And then, like you said, like I've been in a position where I've been on JV and people have been pulled up, and I'm like, ugh, no, not yet, you know? And I've actually told kids on JV, like, I'm sorry, I can't take you up. I just don't think it's a good fit. And now those two girls are like killing it for me, you know, right now, coming off the bench. And it makes sense when it makes sense at the time, you know, that they can see it. But when you have to tell kids that kind of stuff, it's hard. But as a coach, like, that's a big piece of the program is like in your heart, you know what's right for kids, and you have to put them in places that are going to make sense because it's just going to help the evolution of your program. And that's like what I'm really big on is like I map things out and then I see like I want this kid here, and you put them in places to help them be successful and the team be successful. And sometimes that's like hard to do, but you really have to take the time to do it. And that's kind of what helps make your program be successful.
Now, what are your goals and aspirations for the future of Victor Girls Varsity Basketball? And what are some of the next steps? I know your season's over. What does it look like on your way to those goals?
I think like I said, continuing to like right now, I'm focusing on, okay, what am I going to do for my youth? And then what am I going to do for my, you know, older kids, and how's that going to look throughout the summer? Like, what camps am I going to do? What opportunities am I going to have for them? Because my goal is one, like, you always want kids wanting to play basketball. So like, how do I continue to do that year round? And I think, like I said, the girls this year and the seasons were a catalyst because they set a standard for our program. So now more girls are like, I want to be them. I want to go do that. So they've done a lot of work for me. But like I said, like you have to continuously be like, okay, how can I, and you have like kids that play three sports, or you have kids that play two sports. Basketball might not be their first option. So you have to like figure out how to incorporate it in their summer and in their like off season, which can be tricky. But I think if you have that relationship with them, they're going to want to show up for you when they can, which is one huge. And then two, just like buying in and saying, hey, like, look how successful we were last year. You got to put this time in. And like, I'm fortunate because I have girls that buy in and like really respect me because I respect them a ton. So it's just continuing to build that and then just keep consistency within it.
Now, you mentioned the multi-sport athlete. I know Victor is a powerhouse in a lot of sports. I mean, and lacrosse is really big in Victor. How do you feel about having multi-sport athletes on your team?
I like it. I mean, I think with this day and age, you have to. You, like I said, you have to figure out how to navigate through that piece of having kids that are going to play multiple sports. But you know, we had our banquet a couple weeks ago, and I talked about, you know, you have a lot of kid people that'll say, "Oh, Victor, they can't play basketball. It's just a bunch of lacrosse players." And I'm like, not true. Like, you're an I said to the in my speech, I said, you're an athlete. Athletes play all sports. Athletes are competitive. Athletes know how to work hard, and athletes put time in. And that's what you guys do. Yeah, maybe you're going to college for lacrosse, but you sure are a basketball player because you showed the whole, you know, you showed everybody that. And I think it's just getting kids to see that. Like, you're an athlete. You know, like I had one player, if you're in Section 5, you'll know her, but like, you know, Devin Livingston, everybody would say, well, she's going to Maryland for lacrosse. She's not a basketball player. She doesn't, I mean, what she did this season was remarkable. So if anybody comes back and says, you're not a basketball player, I'm going to say, well, you're wrong, because she showed you she was. She just loves lacrosse too, you know?
And I think too, you know, it's good for kids to warn, like, maybe experience different roles as well. Like, you might be a beast at lacrosse, and then you might be more of a team role player in basketball, and to try to have that humility, that balance, and then even, you know, hearing different voices from, you know, like being coached differently too, you know. I think and there's an argument to be made even like on the injury prevention side of, like, if you're only ever, you know, using your body the same way, like, you can get overuse. But if you're, you know, you're moving differently in lacrosse than you are in baseball, and you're moving differently in or softball, and you're moving differently in basketball than you are, you know, cross country, your body, it takes a different toll on your body. And I think if anything, it helps with kids not get overuse injuries. But yeah, that's definitely interesting. I know it's funny when people say, oh, Victor's only known for lacrosse. It's like, I mean, you got to refamiliarize yourself with the district. I mean, Victor's had quite a bit of success recently, so on both sides of the program. So, yeah. Now, as we wrap things up, we always end with this segment called Full Court Press, and it's a little lighthearted, quick questions. I'll start you off with an easy one if you're ready. All right, favorite color.
Favorite color, red.
All right, that's not a good look with Victor Fairport. I mean,
I went to Canandaigua.
Canandaigua, yeah, right. Okay,
And
so
Michael
that
Jordan.
I'll give you a pass. I'll give you a
The
pass with the
Bulls. So,
Canandaigua. Yeah.
okay.
Favorite cereal.
Oh my goodness. I don't really eat cereal much now, but when I was a kid, it was Lucky Charms. So I'll say that.
Great. It's a classic. Classic. Now, I put this question in to weed out the psychos. If you answer it wrong, I might not air the podcast. But is it milk before cereal, or is it cereal before milk?
Cereal before milk.
Okay, you're getting the clear. You're in the clear.
Okay. Whew, I was nervous.
Favorite movie.
Oh man, I have so many, but the first one that just popped in my head was Remember the Titans.
Oh, I wish I could high five you through the screen. That's a great movie. Would you rather give up appetizers or desserts for the rest of your life?
Appetizers.
Yeah, good choice. Good choice. Best Gatorade color.
I like not the light blue, but like that the dark blue. I can't think of what it's called, but that's all I have in my fridge.
Yeah, I know that. Yep. Okay, this one's a fun one. You might need to think on it, but maybe you don't. Maybe it's an easy one. Best player you've ever played against.
Oh, Breonna Stewart.
The legend. The legend. When where did you play against her?
High school and college, actually.
Because she went to Cicero, right?
She went
She
to
was.
Cicero. Yep. We played them. I guarded her. And then we played them. We did a tournament in UConn. So
Yeah.
played against
That's
her again
awesome.
there.
That's cool. Loudest crowd you've ever played in front of.
There's probably like, so there's games like when we had our run in at Bonnas when we were in Sweet 16, we pulled like a lot of crowds, and those were really loud. But one in high school that I'll never forget is Newark was like our huge rival because Alyssa Fenine played there. And I remember it was in Canandaigua, and it was sold out. Like they locked the doors because it was packed. It was the coolest atmosphere, loud, and we won.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, that is, I wish we could go back and get film. I don't know if you have film, but I'd love to see that game.
Yeah, somewhere. I mean, my dad kept everything, so I'm sure it's somewhere in the basement
That's
of
awesome.
their
Might have to
house.
dig that up. Might have to dig it up, digitalize it, and send it my way.
Yes.
Well, Ashley, I appreciate you coming on. It was a blast having you on the podcast. Best of luck this upcoming season, and congrats on a great season this past year. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Thanks, Coach.